Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our glorious Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever gotten the impression that the church is losing ground? Just one or two generations ago, the major social issues that are dominating the news and dividing the country were not nearly as in your face as they are today. There was a common understanding that what is best for a child is for that child to be raised in a home where both mom and dad are married to each other. There was a common understanding that there are only two genders, male and female. There was a common understanding that there is a right and there is a wrong. And if you do something wrong, well, then you're going to have to pay the consequences for that wrong. On the surface, it can easily seem as though the church is indeed losing ground. How do we react to this? While we might react with horror, and while we might react with indignation, we should never react with surprise. Why? Because the good Lord warned us, didn't he? The good Lord warned us that this was going to happen more and more often as we get closer and closer to the end of all things. Today, as we continue our sermon series, What is a Christian? Let's see how the Lord Jesus himself reminds us that a Christian is someone who recognizes the reality of life. The parable of the weeds is relatively easy to understand, but that doesn't mean that it's always easy to apply to our own hearts and to our own lives. Listen to what Jesus says in the first part of our parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Pretty easy to understand, right? Now listen to how Jesus explains and applies those words. Our Savior says, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil." As the owner of the field, as the one who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus very carefully and lovingly plants good seed in this world. This means that everyone who believes and trusts in Jesus as their Savior, and that includes you and me, we are seen as wheat in the eyes of the Lord our God. Unfortunately, Jesus' enemy is also our enemy, and that enemy is none other than Satan, a powerful, evil, fallen angel. Satan makes his presence known in this world by sowing weeds among the wheat. At first, the weeds and the wheat look very much alike until they begin to sprout and produce heads. That's when the difference between the wheat and the weeds becomes obvious. That's when the weeds become a clear and present danger to the weeds. As you and I look around in our little portion of God's field, my friends, as you and I look around in our corner of God's world, we need to recognize the reality of our life. We are wheat among the weeds. On the outside, the unbelievers might look very much like us. They are valuable co-workers. They are helpful neighbors. They are dedicated to their families. They are loyal to their friends. But when you look a little deeper, and when you listen more closely, then you are able to see and to hear that from God's perspective, they are indeed weeds and not wheat. As the fruit of their heart becomes more and more evident in their life, as their priorities become open and obvious in their life, you are able to see that, really, they are nothing like you and me. That is when you and I are able to see that from God's perspective, They are the sons of the evil one. The causes that they support and promote, the scorn and the ridicule that they have for the values and the convictions that you and I hold near and dear to our heart, may lead us to lift up our eyes to heaven and say, Lord, do you want us to do whatever we can to get rid of all of these weeds? That is the thought that leads us directly into the second portion of our text. Jesus' parable continues with the words, the servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then, gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Jesus' explanation of those words is extremely powerful, isn't it? He goes on to say, the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. There have been various times down through the ages where the sons of the kingdom mistakenly saw themselves as spiritual weed whackers. They wanted to pull up everything that they considered evil, everything that they saw as a damaging influence in both the world and in the church. That is not our job, my friends. We do not have the authority or the ability to look into a person's heart and condemn them as a weed that needs to be eradicated at all costs. And we certainly do not want to either directly or indirectly harm someone whose faith is weak. In sharp contrast to what we sometimes want to do, Jesus tells us, wait. Wait for the harvest. Let the weeds and the wheat grow together until I decide that it's time to harvest my field. Our response to this might be something along the lines of, wait? That's your plan, Jesus? Wait? You want us to let the people who hurt us, let the people who are a clear and present danger to your children, to our children, simply live as though there are no consequences to what they are doing? Wait? You are willing to let your children be oppressed or ridiculed or silenced? Wait? You want us to just let the weeds and the wheat grow side by side in the fields of this world? Wait? Is that your solution to the reality that we face in our everyday lives? No, my friends. That is not Jesus' answer to the frustrations that you and I face as wheat living among the weeds. But it is an accurate description of the reality of our life. Jesus has a plan to take care of all of these weeds. Jesus has a plan to root out all the evil together with all of the damaging effects of sin. Jesus even has all of his servants standing by, ready and able to remove every weed, every wicked influence from this world, everything that stands in opposition to his church and to his children. But those workers are not us. Scripture very clearly tells us that the Lord God Almighty has already determined the exact precise time when he will harvest this world. When that time arrives, God is going to send out his millions upon millions of powerful holy angels. These powerful holy angels will gather up all of the unbelievers, all of the weeds, and throw them into the fiery furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is an obvious reference to the eternal fires of hell. Then, Jesus will use his powerful holy angels to gather together all of the believers, all the wheat, and bring them into the kingdom of their Father. In sharp contrast to the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, all the believers, all the wheat, everyone who through faith in Jesus has been given that robe of perfect righteousness that the Son of God won for them on the cross, they will shine like the sun forever. This is an obvious reference to the glorious eternal life that is waiting for us in our Heavenly Father's home. This is what we stay focused on, my friends. This is the reality of our lives as wheat among the weeds. Our focus, our reality, is that one day Jesus will most certainly fulfill all of the wonderful promises that he has made to us, such as his promise to transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body, his promise to remove all of the damaging effects that sin has had on our heart, our mind, and our bodies, his promise that is given to us through his servant John in the book of Revelation. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. As Christians, these are the promises that you and I hold near and dear to our heart. As Christians, this is the reality of our lives. Wait, our Savior tells us. Wait until the time for harvesting comes. Let the weeds and the wheat grow side by side for now. Wait for my plan to unfold exactly as I have designed it. While that might not always be the answer that we would want, as Christians, we recognize that God's plans are always good and right and proper. The fact that the Lord God allows the wheat and the weeds to grow side by side in this world has often been the catalyst for the church to thrive and to grow. The fact that we have to face the trials and the temptations of this weedy world serves to test our faith and cause our faith to grow even stronger as time goes by. The fact that we are surrounded by weeds wherever we look makes us long all the more for the glorious reappearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wait. Let the weeds and the wheat grow side by side for now. Does that mean that you and I should minimize or ignore the tremendous difference between the wheat and the weeds? Hardly. But it does mean that while we have no ability or responsibility to get rid of the unbelievers in this world, we always have the responsibility to witness to them concerning the truth of Scripture. Since we cannot look into anyone's heart, since we cannot peer into the future, we don't know. We don't know if God, in His grace and in His mercy, has a plan to use the power of His gospel message to change some of those weeds into wheat, just like He did with us. So what does God want us to do while we wait? Well, first of all, we need to understand that there is no need to despair, no matter how many weeds we see all around us. God wants us to boldly live as wheat among the weeds. He wants us to be faithful and fruitful. He wants us to stay focused on the harvest that will most certainly take place at the proper time. He wants us to recognize the reality of our life, always trusting that He is always in control. To God be the glory. Amen.